What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
We're on at 98.5 weekdays with Mike, and a very good morning and welcome back to the studio. Andrea, nice to have you back in.
Hi, thanks Mike. Thanks for having me again.
You are a midwife, a child health nurse and an NDC practitioner.
That's right.
It's a lovely long title, Andrea.
Yes.
It is. Now, we're going to be talking about the science of a baby and a toddler sleep.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Yeah, well, I guess there's not a lot of information out there about the science behind baby and toddler sleep, and it is a little bit different to adult sleep. A lot of the information out there, and we sort of covered this a little while back when I was last in, about where it comes from and sort of old behavioural psychology theories, but certainly there's a lot of new information out there around the science of sleep and how it works for babies and toddlers, and it's a little bit different, I guess, to what has previously been taught.
What sort of ages are we looking at here?
Look, really, this science applies until little ones drop their day nap. I mean, generally, the science applies to adults as well because the body systems are the same. But when we're talking about like daily patterns and that kind of thing, we're really talking about until little ones drop their day nap and adjustments we can make using this approach.
Day naps? What age do they normally stop?
Oh, huge variation.
It's been a little while. Yeah. I'm just casting my mind back.
Yeah, huge variation in norm. There is a very small percentage of little ones who will drop all day naps in the first year, but that's only a very small percentage. Otherwise, you're looking at between 2 and 3 often.
Okay.
Sometimes a little bit later.
Pretty challenging for a lot of mums.
Yeah.
Indoor dads, if they're home looking after the little ones.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly, you know, sleep is a big topic that a lot of parents are interested in. So, it can be quite challenging.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. If you've got a question for Andrea, you can text in right now, 0429 985 985. How is your toddler sleeping? Sleeping well? Let us know. 0429 985 985. Back after Pat Benatar. Ninety-eight-five weekdays with Mike. Joining me in the studio this morning is Andrea, our midwife and child health nurse, talking about the science of baby and toddler sleep. Really interesting topic, Andrea.
Yes, it is.
Do a lot of mums get do a lot of mums get quite fearful about, are they doing the right thing or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly with the first one?
Yeah, I think it's natural, you know, for all parents that they're quite nervous and anxious, especially with the first baby. They want to do the right thing and be the best parent they can be. And so they seek out information on how to do that. And unfortunately, now that we've got the internet, it's just like overwhelming.
Yeah. Yes, there's a plethora of groups you can go to, I'm sure. And information's everywhere.
Yeah, that's it. So there's a lot of conflicting information and a lot of stuff that's kind of, I guess, old school, like we were talking about last time, and now we've got some newer information out there. So it is a bit confusing for people. And I guess the main thing to start with, really, for everyone to know, is that when we're talking about the science of sleep, we're talking about sleep as a biological function in the body. It's not a skill that we have to teach. It's a function in the body that's really outside of our conscious control. So when we're looking at some of these old approaches that really focus on behavioral methods, leaving babies to cry to try and train them to sleep and this kind of thing, those are really old approaches that are based on those old theories of behavioral psychology, not the new information we have about the science of sleep and looking at it as a biological function.
So, yeah, can you explain that a little bit more when you talk about that?
Yeah, so I guess there's two main regulators of sleep in the body. The first most people are quite familiar with, the circadian rhythm. That's what sets the difference between daytime and nighttime, and that's what gets disrupted when we're jet-lagged. So that's why most people kind of know a bit about that. Mm. And that's where the sleep hormone melatonin really comes into play, builds throughout the day and then is released at night to help us sleep at night. Babies don't actually develop their own circadian rhythm until about 3 to 4 months of age. So at that stage, that's when they really start to, you can look at their patterns in terms of like a healthy circadian rhythm. Before that, sleep is really very much tied to feeding and how feeding is going. The other regulator of sleep in the body is called sleep pressure, the sleep-wake homeostat. And that's really a compound in the brain called adenosine that rises during the day and makes us nice and sleepy at bedtime and helps us to stay asleep. When we take sleep, adenosine levels lower in the brain. So then the function of naps with little ones is really just to take the edge off the sleep pressure or take the edge off those adenosine levels so that they're nice and sleepy by bedtime. If they take too much sleep in the day, you can see adenosine levels decrease or sleep pressure decreases. And that's when you start to have problems where they don't want to go to bed at night or they're waking up very excessively. So, you know, maybe hourly wakes or something like that, because the sleep pressure is just not quite high enough. And so that kind of works with that circadian rhythm as well. If they're a bit disrupted with their circadian rhythm, then you can see these excessive night waking patterns as well.
Does it only last for a period? I mean, are we looking toddlers and then things start to change come as they get that little bit older?
Yeah, certainly things do change with age, and their actual, the way their sleep patterns work changes as well. And even for toddlers, it's a little bit different to babies. Toddlers will spend more time in the deeper phases of sleep, and so they can also have problems with things like night terrors and that kind of thing that babies don't have. So it does change. Certainly sleep patterns change with time.
Interesting. Andrea, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. If you've got a question for Andrea this morning, you can text in. You can be anonymous as well. Andrea is a midwife and child health nurse, and we are talking about the science of baby and toddler sleep. Love to know, were you up all night last night? Let us know. 0429 985 985. Here's Lauren Daigle. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Andrea, a midwife and child health nurse, is in the studio. We've been talking about the science of baby and toddler sleep. Andrea, do a lot of mums, do we get caught up in worried, and that we spoke about a little bit about fear earlier. Do mums get a bit concerned if their child, their toddler, is not sleeping at all? Say, I just can't get them to sleep. Like, do we get concerned, and maybe should we be concerned or not?
It's a good question. Yeah, I think there's a lot of anxiety about sleep out there. I certainly see it online in my own Facebook group. And I think there's a lot of anxiety around what's commonly called a regression, a 4-month sleep regression, and this sort of thing, which really is a normal developmental stage where babies drop the amount of sleep they need. Obviously, newborns sleep a lot more than a 1-year-old, for example. So sleep needs drop, you know, over the course of the first year quite naturally. And it seems to happen almost overnight sometimes. And so then, you know, it can be a cause of a lot of stress and worry for mums in particular, when their babies have these drop in sleep needs. And I guess the issue when it can become more abnormal is when it goes on for weeks at a time, where a baby might be waking every hour or so. But we do know that sometimes too early waking is normal in the first year, especially for breastfed babies, because mum and baby pairs, sometimes that's the amount of feeding that they need to keep up mum's milk supply. So it can be normal, you know, but there's a huge industry out there that tells mums that that's not normal, and it drives a lot of the fear. There's a lot of fear-driven marketing out there around baby sleep, unfortunately. And so a huge part of my work is actually just talking about what's biologically normal and then kind of helping parents if they need help with excessive night waking.
What's an okay nap? When you spoke about a nap earlier during the day, these day naps, which I think wouldn't be bad actually, even for some adults, having a little nap in the afternoon. Yeah. What's the difference between a short nap, say, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour, compared to, say, a toddler that would nap for an hour, hour and a half?
Yeah.
Should we, you know, do a lot of mums then get worried? Oh, my toddler's only napping for 15 minutes and then I'm looking on social media and they should be napping for an hour or an hour and a half. What does that look like?
Yeah, that's absolutely like a huge thing out there, is that there's a lot of information around how much sleep a little one needs based on their age. But we know from research that actually there's a huge variation in normal, like on individual basis. It's not based on age. So we know from 4 months to 12 months, normal sleep needs for little ones can be anywhere from 10 hours in a 24-hour period to up to 18 hours. I mean, 18 hours is more for the newborn age as opposed to getting to your one-year-old. But there's a huge variation in normal. So you can't ever give, like, generic advice on how much day sleep or nighttime sleep a baby or a toddler needs is very individual. And really, I guess it comes back to cued care, which we spoke about a little bit last time, is, you know, looking at your baby's cues, looking at what they seem to need and being okay with that. Because, you know, when you meet your baby or your little one with where they're at and what they need, that's great. You know, like that's the goal, I think.
Yeah, so good. Andrea, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. If you've got a question for Andrea this morning, text in 0429 985 985. Love to know, how did you even sleep as a parent last night? Were you up all night? Let us know. 0429 985 985. Back after Ronan. At 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike, and midwife and child health nurse Andrea is with me in the studio. Just to finish off this morning, Andrea, we've spoken a little bit about the naps during the day. What about at what about at night time? I'm sure a lot of mums and dads, there's the frustration of night and the toddler getting to sleep. Have you got some tips you can share with us today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so as we touched on in terms of sleep pressure, we want to look at trying to build that sleep pressure for nighttime. So looking at our pattern overall and making sure maybe that we're not having too much sleep in the day. But then also we want to support the circadian clock. So this is that difference between daytime and nighttime. So I guess the best way to do that, one of the first things, which actually really applies to adults as well, is try to avoid the exposure to blue light. So blue light is what comes off our screens, our phones, TV, and also some household lighting's not great for it. And there's really good research that tells us that blue light, actually exposure at night before bed, in that hour before bedtime, actually can delay melatonin release by hours and really disrupt our sleep. So for adults as well, it's not great to be scrolling the phone late at night. It's not really great to be watching TV right up until you go to bed.
So even thinking about a toddler that's potentially playing with a device.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So trying to avoid for a toddler playing with a device, or maybe even for mums who are feeding their baby and they're scrolling Facebook and that screen is that light's coming directly onto baby's face. It's not the best thing.
Come on in. No mums are doing that, I'm sure.
Yes, I know I do cringe a little bit saying it because I have done it myself, I have to be honest, but it's not the best. So if we can avoid that, that will certainly help, you know, help to avoid delaying melatonin release and help with a healthy circadian rhythm. And then we also know from the research that an early wake time with lots of exposure to natural light is really good for the circadian clock and getting our little ones, you know, to know the difference between daytime and nighttime. There's so much focus out there on bedtime, a consistent bedtime, but bedtime, as you probably know yourself, really falls under sleep pressure, like how sleepy you are when you feel like you want to go to bed, how busy you've been that day. If you've had a day on the couch, you might have a later bedtime. If you've had a day out doing a run and being active, then you're more tired, you might have an earlier bedtime. So bedtime really is much more a sleep pressure thing. When we're looking at setting up a healthy circadian clock, we're looking at a consistent early wake time, lots of natural light, and just really help the body get the message that this is daytime, this is time to be up and busy and that sort of thing, and really helps little ones.
Interesting. So really, so you're saying even for bedtime for toddlers, don't focus as much. It's not all about the clock.
Yes.
It's a guide, but it's not the be-all, end-all, because I'm sure a lot of mums are, okay, that's it, it's time. It's bedtime, regardless of where the child's at and maybe how the child has been behaving or sleeping during the day.
Yes, that's right. See, when we talk about an early bedtime and that kind of thing, those studies and that research is much more related to school-age children.
Gotcha.
And you're looking at school-age children who maybe are on their iPads late at night or whatever, and then they're having a late night, they're turning up to school the next day tired, and it's affecting their development and their performance at school. That's different to babies and toddlers who really need to look at their sleep pressure, you need to look at what's happened during the day. and be guided more by that when you're looking at bedtime, as opposed to worrying that, you know, your baby's development is going to be affected with a slightly later bedtime. It's not, it's the research doesn't support that.
Interesting. Andrea, we are out of time. We're going to keep chatting, but really appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, no problem.
And we look forward to catching up, Nick, in a couple of weeks' time. My guest in the studio this morning has been midwife and child health nurse, Andrea. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Stick around, because after 11, I'm going to be talking to Nick Marvin, and we're going to be talking about, is it time to abandon annual performance reviews? Love to know your thoughts on that one. That's coming up after 11.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.